What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened, and if you're new to the table, welcome. We are Filling in the Gaps Rerolled, and we may not be an actual play podcast, but we hope our podcast can help you actually play. We are three DMs who like to roll on a list of themes and scenarios and work together to create a session that you can run or that we'll probably run for each other. With that, let's introduce ourselves. I'm David.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Malcolm.
All right, and to kick us off on this episode, I'm going to start with a question, our question of the week, which is something I need to pull up. What is your favorite class and race?
Tabaxi Bard.
Easy.
I don't think that's surprising to anyone.
That is, I play Bard so much that in this campaign that I'm playing now, I play a Paladin, and my DM was always like, hey, remember Paladins are the tanks, and I'm like, no. Right, I should probably move to the front of the battle, not stay in the back.
Keeping with the theme of staying in the back with the character, I like wizards and monks, so very easy to hit characters, but also very strong in their own right. As far as different races in D&D go, I'm not that exciting. I played a dwarf and a human and an elf. I'm pretty standard fantasy here. I don't really branch outside too much. I want to, but I don't know what the advantages and disadvantages are of that yet, so I'm figuring that out as we go.
Nice. So I play a lot of Pathfinder, and they have quite a bit more options than 5e has, and I think my favorite, just because it has a really interesting combination, there's a race called Samsaran, and their whole gist is basically each time they die, they're reincarnated. And so you can be the same one for centuries. But there's a class that also is really interesting with that called Medium. And their whole shtick is they channel spirits that are in like whatever area that they're near and get abilities. So they're kind of like a jack of all trades, but they don't have control over what thing that they pick up for the day. It's just kind of where they go and channel some spirits. Medium has an archetype where instead of channeling spirits, there's like this ancient demon that's been locked inside of you that you pull from. And so the combination of those two.
Kind of like a warlock?
Kind of. But the patron wouldn't be willing. So instead of pulling from like spirits, you're pulling from this thing, entity, almost kind of like the tailed beasts in Naruto. That's what it reminded me a little bit more
of.
But combining the two, you have a character who's been living and dying for centuries that has also had this thing locked away inside them the whole time. So it's an interesting combination, I think. But Medium is not a good class, so.
You know, I think every class is just how you make it.
It's about having fun, and I wish that a lot more times, I mean, don't get me wrong, you should still have things be viable, but I feel like you should, you know, everything has its place, and it can be fun being a cleric, it can be fun being a monk, it could be fun being a wizard. It's not fun playing a warlock or sorcerer, but that's okay.
See, one of my favorite combos that I've been doing lately is Bard Monk. And
see, that's a good one.
It's very fun. I don't know about you guys, but multiclassing I only can do when like we start off high levels. Because like if I'm playing level one, I'm like, I need to I need this next level on this class. But then I need this next level in this class.
Mm-hmm.
So like I never actually multiclass. I'm always just trying to get the buffs and bonuses of the next one.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't feel smart enough to multiclass, honestly. It feels like okay, well, I'm gonna cut myself off from this path I'm on, and that's gonna limit where I can like finish up that like official thing from getting like that level 20 ability, which most times is pretty cool, sometimes not, or like these cool things you could do later. And it's like, well, why would I do that? There are some times I see it where I go, okay, yeah, this stuff mixed together adds for some really cool things, but most times I'm like, eh, I've been watching a guy on YouTube, Tulok the Barbarian, and he does a bunch of different character builds, and he's got me more interested in a lot of the multiclassing stuff, because it shows, okay, here's where you can mix these two together, so you could have things to be more like this character, more like this person. So I'm like, alright, yeah, now I can see the advantages, but before I was just like, you gotta spell out for me when to do what. I'm not gonna be good at doing this on my own. So, yeah.
Makes sense. I think 5th edition made it slightly more difficult to multiclass than some of the earlier editions did. And Pathfinder is 3.75, so that's included in that statement. They kind of prefer, or it's simpler to just stay one class.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You gotta be okay with the streamline. But speaking of streamlines, Mambo, I have a question for you.
What would that question be?
Shall we roll?
Let's do it!
Man, I feel like we need some air horns or something for that. It's so cool. Alright, I'm going to be rolling for themes. I guess that means you're on scenarios.
Sounds just dandy to me.
Coolio. And here we go. That's a nat 20.
Ooh, I'm rolling this nice metal die this week with blue and gold trim. And I have an 8.
Hopefully this dice helps me out when I go up against whatever my DM throws at me later on, because I don't want to waste nat 20s on this show. No offense.
All right, this is an interesting combination. We have, for today's theme, on the summit of a mountain, or climbing a mountain. And for the scenario, whose line is it anyway? An improv competition.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my improv is paying off.
Let's see here. You think that we'd be good at this because our whole show is basically improv. David, you're the one who announced them. When you think of climbing a mountain and whose line is it anyway, what comes to mind for you?
The first thing, I'm trying to remember, I think again Pathfinder, there's actually a race of like goat people.
Okay.
And so we go to competitions a lot. The first thing I think of is a competition between these goat people who are trying to climb a mountain, but they have to do it in kind of untraditional ways. And your party would try to compete with them.
Okay. Hear me out here. So, competition, side of mountain, climbing the mountain, you got lines to hold on to get to the top of the mountain. And you have to do jokes. If your joke isn't good, they cut your rope and you gotta climb the mountain without it. No more line for you. That's why it's whose line is it anyway?
So, with Goat Person, I know they just released Thanos hard copy, and there's satyrs in there, so we have to have a Drew Carey satyr. Am I wrong?
No, this feels right. That feels like the right thing to do.
And I think he's on top of the mountain with some sort of thing that your party needs. And hence,
he's got to have vicious mockery. He's got to be a bard with vicious mockery.
Of course. But I just think that he has what your party's looking for. Maybe if you're doing like a fetch quest type thing. Or, you know what? This could just be a perfect goofy encounter to break up mundane combat and some... role-playing sessions that maybe things are getting a little dull and you just need to throw a little, like, all right, let's just goof up here. So let's throw in a goof.
Well, I went a completely different direction. I actually went more in line with the Adventure Zone Suffering game, where they had the concept of, like, there's a person who has this thing that you need, the MacGuffin, the whatever, and they're at the end of the game. You have to play through the game to get to the end of the game. But the thing is, in this case, the game would be the mountain, and you have this person who's just like, you're not getting to the top of my mountain, and they can, like, throw stuff down at you, they can do whatever. Basically a Donkey Kong level, but, you know, D&D-ified and made really, really fun. So I feel like you can do a lot of stuff with that, because a mountain's not going to be instantaneous. You're not going to be like, and we climbed the mountain in a day, oop-a-doop-a-doop. Like, it's... like, you'd have avalanches, you would have different effects that the person on top can cause. They can send people down to mess with you if they don't want you to get up the mountain.
I think you can also have all, like, the different people from the show. You can have a Wayne Brady, a Ryan Stiles, Colin Mockery, and then the rotating desk as different levels of the mountain. And at the end is the Seder Drew Carey, where he's like, as soon as you get to the top, he's like, well, the climb don't matter, and this doesn't. And then you look behind him, and there's stairs coming, going all the way
down. That, or he just jumps and casts fly, and he's like, whoa! Okay. So, like, having these different people, so you could have your favorite host or favorite people. See, this is kind of reminding me of last week with the Bard rap battle, but in a better way. as we're having these people, you'd essentially be fighting a ton of bards, and you can style them however you want to be different, but they have to hurt you with their words. Is the key thing.
This kind of reminds me, I don't know if you guys have listened to Dungeons and Daddies before, but they had a great segment. And spoilers alert right now. I'm going to spoil this. If you're listening, pause us now. Binge watch all of Dungeons and Daddies. Then come back here. They have a thing. There's a character named Scam Likely. And in one of the episodes, he literally just plays Truth or Dare with them for all of their money that they've had. And if they do the truth... they pick Truth or Dare, and if they answer correctly, they get, like, I think it was like 1,000 gold back. And if they answer wrong or they don't do the dare, he drops it into an endless pit, and they lose that money. I think right now would be a perfect time to also kind of have one of those stakes or scenarios. Maybe Drew Carey steals, like, all of their equipment or gold or something, and now they're in this, like, whose line is it anyway type of thing. So you can, the DM could have, like, strips of paper of, you have to climb this everyone's climbing a mountain, but to, like, get to the next level, it's like, hey Malcolm, your character has to tell me one truth about himself type of thing. Like, and you can have that in your hat, or you can take the games and morph them into different challenges for your players' characters.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay. I like that. How powerful are satyrs, though, magic-wise? Because that's what I need, a general idea of what...
It's an NPC, so you decide as the DM.
I love that answer. It can always be enhanced or decreased by magical objects or limits, so that's always true. But yeah, having a satyr who's in charge of this, like, what's his end goal? What does he want?
He just wants to laugh.
I think he just wants to laugh.
So we're kind of going with the...
trickster. Some kind.
Yeah, kind of trickster, kind of fae-ish. thing, but let's not use a fae, because we kind of lean on that a bit. Let's use an actual satyr. I like that. But,
I mean, we can go with Phil from Hercules, the animated movie. He's trying to look for a hero to train.
Nah. That loses the Who's Line effect of like, hey.
Well, no. Jim Carrey could be a good trainer. Drew Carey, not Jim Carrey, excuse me. Drew Carey could be like training someone, you know? It could be, if you have a bard in the party, it could be their next like level up.
But I like the concept of what you said of like, it doesn't matter. Like the whole thing of getting to Drew Carey is like, you did it. See you next week when we do it again with some other random people. Bye. Like, it's like, why do you do this? It's like,
I don't think he needs an ulterior motive except to screw with the party.
Yeah, I like the idea of a Dark Knight Joker-esque, some men just want to watch the world burn. Some men just want to watch you climb mountains and make fun of you while you do it. Yeah, okay. So we got that. We kind of got the encounters down, kind of basing it more off the games that they play within that, scenes within a hat, where you could do that kind of truth or dare style of reveal of character, which would be a good thing for the characters to have in general.
You could really delve into like some background information, have them make actual hard answers to some of their stuff in their backgrounds.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, just to go back to the Dungeons and Daddies example, one of them, he asked one of the dads he has twins, and he asked who's their favorite son, and it was very hard for them to, like, they couldn't answer it, you know, type of thing, just being that character. And then the other one was, like, dared to never wear pants again type thing, so it's... I think with those, if you go that route, you can definitely be as creative as you want or as truthful. I know just recently while I was DMing, I have a character who is a vampire, and they had to actually tell one of the party members, and it was like one of those moments of like, man, this is intense. So I think you want to incorporate intense moments into like the joking around.
Mm-hmm. That's what comedy's for, is to, like, really just sneak in the truth somewhere. I like that. I like the idea of it being a very kind of revealing session in that way, where you have the kind of truths of everybody be shown, rather than it be a thing of just like, hey, wacky challenges. It's like, oh, no, we're gonna make your character into, like, a defined person. Here's the thing that I feel like needs to be said, because a lot of people get weird about NPCs lying. The way to sidestep this is, as the DM, not lie. Only ever have your characters lie. It's a thing where it's like, if you have something where it's like, okay, you can't go, oh, there's nothing wrong with this room. You can just go, oh, you know, they're... You haven't explored this room. It seems like everything's normal, and it's like, well, okay, we should explore that, we should figure it out. But if you're a character, and you're like, and they go, nothing's wrong with this room, I checked it, and you're like, oh, okay, we believed them, and then it's like, oh no, there were traps everywhere, and it's like, he lied. They can do that. People can lie, characters can lie. So I feel like even with the satyr, if you wanted to take away the consequences, if they were too full as far as the dare part went, but the truth part could be out there still, if you were one of the people who are like, I don't know, this is kind of extreme, I don't want to drastically change my party, just have the satyr lie and be like, no, this is important that you reveal all this stuff, and at the end him just be like, nope, doesn't matter, anyway, bye!
Yeah, exactly.
I spread chaos wherever I go!
Like, so say they're on a quest to fetch a magical item. And this magical item is on, I'm just going to say a crown, because that's just what first came to my head. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. This crown is on top of the head of Drew Satyr. And he's, as soon as they meet him in like a tavern or something, he scampers up to the tallest mountain, and the villagers are all like, oh, you have to climb this tower, or you have to climb this mountain, or you're never going to get it back. Because also, by the way, he's going to give you challenges. You just got to do them, type of thing. You get all the way to the top, only for him to reveal, like, oh, there are stairs. I just tell them that so they don't bother me, type of thing, you know?
I kind of like the idea of the satyr flying like the Lorax, though. Just, like, lifting himself up and just flying away.
Oh, yeah, you could have that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I kind of want your satyr to have, like, an alpaca pet. I don't know if you guys watched the Masked Singer.
I was just about to say, yep.
I got in
spoilers
late
for the Masked Singer.
Oh, yeah, spoilers right now. Well, it's season two. If you're still on season two at this point, or season three, was that season? That was season three, right?
I think so. Don't know.
Yeah, season three. Well, sorry. Sorry, guys. We ruined it.
He's out in, like, the first two episodes.
Yeah.
Well, now we definitely ruined it.
I didn't like that because of people who were winning when other people were much better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a popularity contest. Which, looping that back into here, should we have it be that it's like, how should we have it be that they're successful within a challenge? Because in certain things, I imagine some people might go with a more humor base, so how would we operate that?
If we have the truth or dare, it would be kind of straightforward. They either do it or tell the truth, and that would be like yes or no. We could also...
But we want to have it be kind of silly, because it's whose line is it anyway stuff. So, like, I mean, I'm a big fan of, like, making the silly things deadly. One of the things that I ended up doing for one of my worlds was to just have it be like, all right, yeah, you're in a world with, like, 1966 Batman, but that means that there are people who can punch so hard that words appear. Do you know how hard that would have to be a punch? Like, it's stuff like that where it's like, okay, well, it's ridiculous, but what would that mean for that as itself? So, within this, I feel like you could do, like, some, not necessarily jigsaw-level traps, but some, like, insane-level reorganization of the whose line is it anyway, like, materials. Like, maybe you have a part where they have to redo a scene or do stuff over again. Use all your improv games here.
Use a bunch of games from The Price is Right.
Oh.
Yeah, that's perfect. Plinko. Plinko, whatever. Or they have to... How much does this full set of armor cost?
You're right, you win it, and you have to carry it up the rest of the way of the mountain.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think you can also be like, what spell is it anyway, too? Or whose spell, and then start listing off maybe one of your cleric spells, and your other members of the party have to guess, like, whose spell it is, like, who can cast that spell. I think you can also just use the random wild magic table as well. Like,
oh,
just
totally.
Just imagine you climbing up, and all of a sudden your barbarian turns into a potted plant. Sorry, excuse me, a potted plant. And now your strong guy is just like a plant. And now you have to deal with that situation.
Or just throw him off the mountain. Goodbye, old character.
Oh,
finally got rid of the strong guy.
Ooh, if you place a villain with them too to like have to help make them work together, that could be very viable.
Oh, have it be that he got like stuck on the mountain somewhere.
Yeah, or I don't know, you know, like the Jesse and James types of evil guys that always come back, or the Skeletors that they're like not a threat until like you underestimate them enough to where they are a threat.
I was actually thinking, I just got done the other day playing Mortal Kombat 11's DLC, and what they had done with one of the characters is they're like, no, you're the villain, we don't trust you, and he's like, I am the villain. but there's a worse villain right now that we have to deal with. So you don't have to trust me forever. You just have to trust me until we're done with that. And then you can worry about me. And it was the whole thing, the whole time of everyone's just like, you can't trust him. You can't trust him as they're like working with him. And he's like, you gotta trust me for this amount of time. And everyone's like, ugh. But it's like a begrudging, like working together. It's the sense of like, oh, we have to do it to get through this part. Taking a different thing to ruin and or possibly spoil. Sorry for those who haven't seen the second Jumanji movie. I don't know where we count Welcome into the Jungle in the list. But there's a part in it where they meet a character who was stuck in the game before them. Not Robin Williams, unfortunately. Rest in peace. But they meet a character who's there and is just like, I can't get past this part, and I keep trying to do it by myself, and it's not working. So if we work together, maybe all of us can get out. But I don't want to try again by myself, so I'm not doing anything on my own. And it's like, maybe you have that person up there. Maybe it's not a villain, but maybe it's just someone who's just like, I am not moving forward. I am not on your side. I am stubborn. I will not work with you, but I'm working with you enough to get out of here.
Oh, you know what I just thought of? Is if Drew Sater has the has maybe an exorbitant amount of gold, and all the villagers are like, this guy keeps taking all of our gold. And then as soon as you get up there, he's like, oh, and the gold don't matter. You know, like, he's like he snaps his finger, it disappears, or it's like chocolate or something. just to really screw with your party.
Don't goats eat metals?
I don't know.
This one can.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, you can just be like, I eat the gold. It don't matter.
I eat the gold. Yeah, I think there's a lot of improv games you can definitely mold, so it's not just like funny thing after funny thing after funny thing. You can definitely have skill-based checks for those characters or players who aren't, you know, your theater majors and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Because not everyone is going to want to go up there and do improv or tell a joke. So I think you definitely need those type of wacky skills. Like if he kicks a boulder over or a barrel over type thing, you know, you could definitely have like a Donkey Kong influence in there.
I feel like you should, if you have the chance, I feel like this is a good chance to have really high level, really high, what's it called? Like constitution checks and strength checks for if you're just gonna like try to bulldoze through this mountain, just get up there without doing the challenges and things. It's like, no, you should have just done the challenges. That's that's easier. Why are you doing it this way?
That could be like so using the environment rules where it's like the cold is what's messing with you. So if you have characters, or if you have players who can kind of withstand cold temperatures, they get to shine a little bit while the rest of the party freezes. But these...
Yeah, you have different things with the elements, or you have it be that the path is lit and warm, yeah. But if you go off the path trying to get up, it's like, you're going to freeze, and that's going to be funny, but we're going to be over here. Like, you just have like a group of... They all have to be satyrs, right? Like, it's not just Drew. It's all Wayne Brady, Ryan. I don't know all of their names anymore.
Colin. There's, like, three that stay. Wayne, Brady, and Colin all pretty much are the solid core. Okay, and then they have shifting, shifting guests that
Aisha's
come in.
Aisha's in charge now, right? Aisha Tyler as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you have any of those...
The whole cast.
...on the mountain... to different levels of different things. No, that's what it is. They're an adventuring party. And this is just what they do. This is how they like have their fun in their towns, is that they do this to each town they go to. It's not always a mountain, but they always like show up somewhere, and this is what they do. It's like, it's their equivalent of Answer Me These Riddles 3, is that like... Play our dumb game and figure out if you can get to the top of the mountain for no other reason than we wanted to see if you do it. Now that you've done it, good on you. Later! And then it's just like, what? Really good.
Or you just, I like that a lot. To hook your party in, have a... I mean, like I said, you could talk about giving them, like, gold in quotes, or talk about how these points are valuable for something to really get your party to want them. And like every time they get a level, you hear Drew Sater be like, oh, that's 100 points to the venturing party A. They're doing a great job. Next challenge up is, scenes from a hat. And then you as a DM can pull off different scenes of it. Could, if it, you can go complete magical, you can have like a random encounter on top of this hill now because the satyr has pulled out a beholder from this hat. So you roll on the table or you put different monsters in a hat or something.
That's good. I like that. It's I like that as an encounter.
I think for like hooking your party, I think the best way to do it, rather than having a reward, is just steal stuff from them. If that's what what this adventuring group is doing, is they're going and kind of tricking people to take these riddles, stealing from your party is the best way to make them, like, drive them into action. And if it's fun, they won't murder all your new NPCs.
Well, it's whose stuff is it anyway, is what they could just be. It's like, it's our stuff now. And it's like, no, that's our stuff. And it's like, you gotta prove it. Get up here. If it's your stuff, you would have it, right? So it's not yours.
Yeah. You have that. Whose gap is it anyway?
Oh. But yeah, you have it where they can get, where they can, like, try to get their stuff back. You either have their stuff stolen, or you have it be, which I think, if you wanted to make these people reoccurring, like a Jesse James villain, Jesse Space and James, not Jesse James, that's a different thing. But you can have it be that they keep the stuff. They just take the stuff and like, oh, you got this? Well, guess what? Your stuff don't matter. And he just like jumps off the cliff before he just walks down the stairs or whatever. And it's like, he's going away with our stuff. And it's like, yeah. It's like the game is a game. I'm not giving you your things.
This is also a good chance for a DM to remind your players of the magical items you've given them. Because sometimes they just forget, and you're just like, I gave you this orb of levitation, and you're in a lava pit, so maybe you would want to use that? Nope.
So
you're not going to bring it up? That's okay.
So, interesting that you went that way with it, because considering that we were talking about, like, the things getting stolen, that's the stuff I would steal, is the stuff right. They weren't using.
Right.
So that way, when it's like, oh, we're gonna attack these people, and it's like, wow, they have some neat hey, that's my orb of levitation! Hey! Like, it's like, oh! I was like, I wish I could let... Oh, wait, I could... Wait, I don't have that. They took that. That's mine.
Yeah, I think also take some of the stuff that they use a lot as well. But definitely, like... So, say that they complete one level of the mountain. Then you can give them back some of, like, the stuff that they don't use that often. Like, a rod of... What was it? I can't remember what's the rod
called. Rod of immovability?
Yeah. Give them back that rod. And then they're like, oh, I could use this here now. You know, give them...
And if they
very powerful,
fail the test, they just lose the item.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Just
yeah, the person just keeps it and, like, disappears. That'd be great.
Or they just eat it.
Oh, yeah, they're all
satyrs. I like just eating it. he shoves the rod down his throat and it's gone for good. What?
He just eats it. It's gone.
Oh, could you imagine that, you know, the typical barbarian with the family heirloom axe just having that eaten right in front of him?
And just be like, nope. And he just, oh, and you're like, what? He just ate the axe. And he's like, he ate the axe, yeah. It's metal. I'm going to look up if goats eat metal, because I'm pretty sure they eat metal, but I'm not sure if they eat all metals. But satyrs aren't just goats, so
I mean, satyrs can eat anything.
We're in like a foresty area. These could be like variant satyrs.
Yeah, they're billy goat satyrs, you know, different types of goats, different
goats will eat anything, and I also got no goats don't eat tin cans, so I don't know. I think it's supposed to be you're not supposed to feed goats tin cans, but I think they will eat anything. I don't know. Hey, farmer community of filling in the gaps, let us know if what Goatsy, and we'll correct the episode or put out like a thing out there talking Cam. About
Cam from Texas. Let us know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Long time listener, first time writer. But yeah, I really like this. I like the idea of the goats. I like how this can be a silly one. This can be a little bit more serious. I like that. I like that it opens up a lot more of character development mm-hmm. with the people, because it's finally the chance to like delve into everyone's backstory. It's like my brain just keeps going to the storm now from Avatar, where it's like, now you understand why everyone is the way they are. Also, a cedar stole all your stuff. Like, that's what you get.
So we need to look at a game that each of the cast members would run.
I need to look up what games they do, because I know Scenes from the Hat, because that's a popular one.
Hoedown is a good one.
Hoedown is difficult.
Yeah, talk about the last... maybe Drew Sater has the really good stuff. And like that's the last one, is make a hoedown.
The last one, I think, would have to be the truth or dare.
That feels... I feel like you should be able to choose your last challenge against Drew Sater here. Because otherwise, it just feels like, oh, man.
Yeah, I guess right.
Because it's like, if you aren't great at those, because I'll admit I'm not great on like rhyming on the spot of things, but if you want to take like 30 minutes, I can write you down a poem and be like, boom, this whole thing, take that, Drew Sater. And it's like, yay, you beat me using poetry. Good job. Like, if you want to make sure nobody gets stuck, because I know that that's a thing that people have issues with sometimes. But let's see. Whose Line Is the Name? Is the name of the show.
House Party is a good one that they do.
Oh, that is good.
Don't they have a props game?
Yep, props.
Yep.
Well, that could be good, where they animate a random item. Ooh, whatever the item they stole, they animate, and you have to fight it.
Well, I like that. Living Scenery is a good one. So it's difficult. It'd be a fun one to like also involve those people who are like, I just wanted to climb the mountain. It's like, here, be a wheelbarrow real quick. We gotta do this scene.
Yeah, oh my gosh, your character turns into like the wheelbarrow.
Oh, I love it.
And then the other character has to use that wheelbarrow.
Okay, let's see. Press conference. Oh, what was the one where it's like TV and it like hops from thing to thing?
Oh gosh. Yes, that's newscasters.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, there's 49 of these games available on online for you guys to look up pretty easily. We can But yeah, there's a lot to go through here.
All I know is Wayne Brady, if you do a Wayne Brady Seder, has to do some sort of singing game, because that's like a staple of his.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, true enough.
That, you know, let's pull up one of your characters to like on a bench, you know, where he like serenades them type thing. It's like, what genre do you get? Granted, if you're a DM and you don't feel comfortable doing that, you don't have to. You can change it up. These are just ideas.
I'm still looking through the different games to try to see anything else to name. Film dub would be a good one. Like, you present them a scene and they have to figure out what to say for the characters in it to make it, like, fun.
So these satyrs are basically just really strong illusionists.
Maybe.
So they would make, like, you know, silent
maybe,
illusions.
Maybe they're straight wizards and they can just make reality happen. But yeah, strong illusionist also sounds really good, David. I don't know. We missing anything? We have the ending down pat. He's got to leave with or without their stuff. because that's the comedy gold of it, is everybody just leaves after they're done with their thing. Like, they eat the axe, and they're like, okay, my job's done, and they just walk away. Just walk off screen, and you're like, wait, what? How? They just walked off a mountain. Where'd they go? They didn't fall, they just walked away.
I love it. He just walks straight off the mountain, walking in air, just walking away.
What kind of... We talked about this happening to, like, settlements. What kind of other groups would you be competing with or competing against going up the mountain?
I like the idea of a rival party being the people, because that way that puts more things... If you wanted to do a point system, that feels a lot worse afterwards, after you get done. Like, yeah, we got 1,000 points. Beat you at the 800s. And it's like, yeah, guess what? The points don't matter. Your stuff's mine. I'm a thief. Later! And it's like, aw, true satyr.
I think maybe, like, there's always, like, some shitty king that the party hates for the most part, I think. Maybe some of his noblemen are there because they also stole from the king. So now it's just like, oh, I'm going to get that king's stuff because he was a jerk. You know?
Down with that. He can steal they can steal multiple things. In fact, I feel like that's almost more realistic for them to just steal multiple people's stuff. And it's like, whoever dares, climb the mountain and figure out whose stuff is it anyway.
Yeah, whose stuff? And then you can always have that rogue character who's like,
can I take it all?
Can I loot everything before people get there?
And then, yeah, you could also the cool part about this is it doesn't have to be like a natural good party. It can be people who got up there and like, well, the king's crown is up here. I'm gonna wear that now. That's my crown.
Oh, could you imagine if you put like a deed to a kingdom in there?
Be good.
It's got to be a kingdom far away, though. So they're like, how long have they been up at this? Like, how long have they been doing this?
Yeah, of course. It's like on the other side of the world or something that they've never heard of. But, like, if they ever go to explore it, they own a kingdom.
There's could be, like, a group of, like, really angry kobolds that are after some dragon eggs.
Oh, yeah. That makes it sad.
Well, it's not their eggs. It's dragon eggs.
Oh, that's fair. Still dragons are missing their children. Sucks to be a dragon in Dungeons and Dragons, let me tell you. It's an awful world for them.
It's almost like D&D is an anime for dragons, where they're the title character.
They lose they keep getting beat up and murdered when they're just trying to mind their own business.
Well, some of them. You know, those... The metallic dragons are just assholes, I gotta say.
I mean, everyone's gotta have their evil people. People aren't defined by the worst parts of their, like, people. They're defined by themselves, you know? So, gotta be good. But yeah, I like this. I like the idea of making it a kind of thing where it's like, oh, you get up there and your rewards are either all of this, or you could have the satyr be like, all right, choose one of your rewards, doesn't matter which one. And it's like, oh, okay, if you don't want them to just like, I stole everything and I'm gonna keep stealing one piece. Like, if you get up there and you want to actually reward them for playing the game,
that's good.
You just be like, oh, you get to pick some of the stuff, you don't get to pick everything. You get to pick some of the stuff. So you want to get the king's crown, a deed to a kingdom, or do you just want your stuff back? You want your lousy orb of levitation, or you want a deed to a kingdom? That's up to you. Kingdom being never heard of might be in bad shape, but hey, it's yours now.
That's really cool.
I like that a lot.
They would get to pick a certain number of items based on how well they did coming up.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's... key is you have to have a lot of the choice. I also think if you want to keep going with the points gag, be like, so when you set up the rules, be like, all right, if you get 1,000 points, you get to choose 10 things. And then when they get up there, he's like, nah, just one. But
they changed my mind. Points don't matter.
The points never mattered. I think also it would be wise. I really like the idea of stuff of their stuff getting eaten.
Mm-hmm.
If they fail, I think
that is hilarious.
So you would have some of their like minor items in the initial encounters that can be
whatever
destroyed.
They fight with. Or whatever they had gotten stolen, and if they failed the challenge, their thing gets eaten. I feel like it's fair because that gives an actual like consequence to like the thing.
Yeah,
if it turns out that they like, if someone's just like, well, I don't care about the immovable rod. I'm not gonna like fight you for. I'm not gonna do the stupid challenge. And it's like, all right, nom done. And it's like he ate the immovable rod, and it was like, yeah. Later, and he walks off the mountain and goes away. It's like, okay.
I think if they do that, like, so if I was a DM and DMing this, I would take a list of what my characters have of their magical items. And then I would accordingly, like, steal which ones I thought. I'd steal probably a minor, a medium, and, like, a good weapon or something, a good item from them, from each of my party members or my players. And then I would have different challenges. So, like, say the bard is going first and you have his loot that gives him a +5 in his performance or persuasion, whatever. And he goes first and he's like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. You just eat it and then you pull out the next one. So then it's like, oh, so you're going to... I see. We have to do this. I think, and I don't think you have to, like, if you're doing a big party, I would pick maybe some of, like, items that they share to bring out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the heavy hitters,
yeah,
of sorts.
Yeah, you don't want to sit there and do a round for each player, so maybe you couple them, so if you're going to do some Price is Right games as well, like, if you're like, all right... Gremlin the Goblin and Hobo the Murderer, come on down. The Price is Right. You know, you do all the spiel. And they're like, this fine set of adamant armor that your cleric wears, how much does this cost? And then you have your different... party, like the people they're going against. You know, you get the $1... and then they bet, and if they lose that, say it's like 1,000 and they bet 800, the other people bet like 950, then they just eat it, you know? So then it's like, now the cleric just lost its powerful armor, and it's the bard and barbarian's fault, you know? I think you can have those different layers. And if they win it, then they get it back, you know?
The other team wins it, especially if you have a rival team, you just have it be like, or this could be the origin story of a rival team. Where it's just like, you almost left us down that mountain. Luckily, we've got your armor. Like,
that's really good.
Like, the little things about it can be really something you can go for here.
Yeah, I think that's totally would be a lot of fun.
I think we're ready to move into recap. It's a little early, but... we nailed this one pretty quickly.
Yeah, so I'm recap today. If I have that correct, no, I'm outro.
Yes, I'm on the recap. And while I'm giving the recap, Malcolm, you can take a minute to come up with what your scene is for the synopsis.
I think I have an idea.
Okay. So for this episode, your party is kind of traveling. They encounter a town that has just been essentially robbed of a lot of their gold, goods, magic items, and they were issued a challenge to come climb a mountain and participate in games to get their stuff back. As your party's kind of lamenting about the issues that these people have gone through, they notice, hey, my items are gone too. I'm missing my axe and my armor. And so you decide to make your own journey. Making your way up the mountain, there's a bunch of different satyr that are playing games. If you win a game, you'll be able to earn your item back. If you lose, they eat your item. And then at the end of the game, they just go away. Once you get to the top, you face the final satyr and can potentially earn either your items or someone else's items. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And these can be a recurring group of satyr that show up at different areas and come up with different types of areas or encounters that they would have this occur, because they're also having fun with improv.
Oh, we didn't mention this, but we could have the satyrs even be kind of like a dark reflection of the party. Like, the concept of, like, oh, hey, the, like, the fun love it. Because it is, like, D&D is mostly improv. Most RPGs are improv. Yeah. And so it's like you get to play with that aspect of, like, they're playing a game like you're playing a game. When you felt like being a murder hobo and attacking all those people in a town, now that's what they're doing. Because to them, it's just a game. But anyway, I think I got this one. I think I'm ready. Let's. So your party approaches the mountains, where snow is beating down from the sky as a storm approaches and the clouds cover the stars. Up above, you see a satyr perched apart part of the mountain, and a little ways upward, you believe you see the shadow of something else. But on top, you hear a loud voice boom, as if thaumaturgy, which I think I said right, is being cast at an insanely high level, which you're not sure how that's at all possible. That goes, "Welcome to Whose Stuff Is It Anyway? Where the points? Well, you'll see about the points, but come on in!" Your party can either join the satyr's bizarre game or try to take the mountain by the through the storm that it's going through. Either way, the choice is yours. What do you do? Pretty okay. I don't know what it is about synopsises. They always get me a little stumbly. Like, I'm fine to talk like this on the podcast. The moment's like, and now it's dramatic. It's like, oh, well, shoot. But yeah, I think this one would be very, very fun. I like this one. I think it's cool. I think it's really creative. I still love the fact that there is another way. Also, Sam/Mambo, I love the idea of, like, you have stairs, but just have it be that they're, like, frosted over. Or you do, you guys see those videos of where goats, like, walk up, like, the tiniest inclines? Mm-hmm. Just have it be like, you could have taken the stairs, and it's just that. It's just like tiny, and humans can't get up. It's just like, oh, goats? Yeah, totally. Doop, doop, doop.
Yeah, or it's like the typical, like, the invisible bridge scenario of...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, you see
that's great.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you see the satyr walk up like a swirling thing, and there's no stairs, but you see him walk up with ease, and then... You might have a character or a player who's like, I try walking. But then you just have at different levels, you have like the bosses still, you know. Nothing really changes except now that they have stairs, so they're not maybe doing, you know, strength checks, climbing up and stuff.
Yeah. I like it. I think this one's fun. I think you guys and the... outer space, what is this? What's the podcast space called that's out there? The listener space? Like, it's not outer space. That's a different thing. But
the listener zone. Out there and, the real world?
I like that. I was going to go with reality, but the listener zone sounds good. People out there in the listener zone, let us know... let us know how this goes for you if you decide to run it. I think it's pretty creative. I feel like you can... The fun part is also, like we said, you can throw in guest characters. So if you wanted to have... If there was a funny character people really liked, it's just like, oh, and the fun part could be they could be summoned in instead. So it's like they're forcibly part of the game. They don't want to be there. And it's like, and our guest character is... Badoop, this guy from out of town who sells bread. And it's like... Oh, hi. I was the in cabbage a bakery. Guy. Why am I on a mountain?
Cabbage guy from Avatar?
Yes! Once I said bread guy, I was like, I should have said cabbage.
That could just be something else they steal, too, is just a person from town. And then they make them run a game. Well, they can
put the person back. I don't feel like they're cruel. I feel like they're just like, no, we want stuff. Like, I always feel like there's a big line in, that's drawn in movies and TV shows, which is pretty true, of there's a big difference between being a thief and a murderer. Like, you're not going to, like, just kidnap a person forever. You know, you just be like, no, I need you for a quick second to do a thing. Cool, you're good. Go back. So, yeah. Normally, we don't do stuff after the synopsis, but anyway, these ideas come when they come, guys. Deal with life.
Well, I think that's it. Thanks for listening to Filling in the Gap Rerolled. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Speaking of today, our theme music is Today by Linby off their album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more from them at linby.bandcamp.com or their actual play podcast Bombarded. Both are great and we highly encourage you all to check them out. Side note, if you'd also like to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, that would be great as well. We very much appreciate it as we are trying to grow and reach more struggling DMs or players out there. You can find all of us on Twitter. I am at DMMambo5.
You can find me at Daedra18, that is DAEDRA18.
You can find me at The Ruler of Rhyme.
And the show's handle is FITGDND. We also have a Discord server, which should be attached to our Twitter. If not, we'll put it there, because we are always looking for new themes and scenarios to add to our list, and we'd love some new Hive Mind members. Last note of this outro is that the show is edited by our audio gremlin, Andrew. You can follow them at xnubinator912x and interact with all of us. We are proud to be a Obtuse Audio Studios podcast, and you can learn more about them at obtuseaudio.com. And again, I am coming to you asking you to give us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes so we can slowly take over the world. Or, I don't know, climb the charts. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Obtuse Audio.